What follows are three interviews conducted by Christians Together, the website serving the Christian community in the Highlands and Islands of Scotland at www.christianstogether.net. And the three interviews were on the same occasion on Thursday, the 2nd of October, at a gathering in Inverness of church leaders. The meeting itself was hosted by the Luis Palau Association, with Luis Palau, the Argentinian evangelist there himself. The context of the interviews and the meeting was some discussions which have been proceeding for quite some time, indeed since 2006, with a view to a mission to the Highlands and Islands in 2009. And Pastor Randy Bartis, who is a festival director for the Luis Palau Association, had made previous visits to Inverness. As a result of that, the evangelist himself came to the Highlands last week. And these interviews are first of all with Luis Palau, then with Randy Bartis, and finally with short interview with Luis Palau's son, Andrew, who, having been converted in his late 20s, is now working as an evangelist.
Well, Louise, thanks for giving the time to speak to us on this occasion of your visit to Inverness.
Yes.
We'll cover the background to that later, but just very briefly, how has the Spirit led you to this place today?
Well, you know, 30 years ago, we were in the Highlands. I drove just stopped for an hour or two in Inverness. Then we had the great meetings at Pittodrie Stadium in Aberdeen. And then that took us to Motherwell and Ayrshire, and then finally to Glasgow at Kelvin Hall. That went on for 6 weeks, and it was a great harvest. And I always felt I owed a debt to Inverness and the Highlands, because even though I'd had a night in Wick and Lerg and Tain, and then just passing through Inverness, we stopped at a Baptist church. I think there was a tea going on, and I just sort of said hello, and I felt, of all the places I haven't stopped seriously, is Inverness. So the Lord laid it on my heart to come and share, if the churches wanted me, just to try and win young people to Jesus Christ. It's always been a great burden. You know, the young people are more open, they're more responsive, they have a tender conscience than we old-timers, you know. And so I love to reach out to them and all the new generation of children. And then suddenly, two brothers walk up to me at Keswick, down in Keswick, England, and in the Lake District. And independently of each other, one of them half joking, I realized, but I took it seriously, because I always look for tokens of God's guidance. If something's on my heart, I expect that other people will come in, and so it happened. And so Reverend Grant came and said, "Would you take it seriously?" And I said, "Absolutely. I've been praying and waiting on the Lord for an open door." And that was the open door. And he's a humble pastor, and that did it for me. And I just would like to share, if the Lord allows, to be able to evangelize and to present the gospel.
So Grant and Tommy came up to you separately at Keswick, Louise, and really they confirmed what the Lord was saying to you. Is that the case?
Absolutely. That's how it was. And it gave us great courage. Some of the members of my team said, "Inverness, how many people live at Inverness?" You know, because we go to these massive cities with 2 million, 10 million, you know, London 24 million, or Buenos Aires 14 million. But when the Lord lays something on your heart, you've got to do it. And my conviction is this. I didn't mention it today. Maybe the Lord knew. My conviction is that God is going to bless us in Inverness and the Highlands in a tremendous way, and that will infect and be a contagion for good in Glasgow and in Edinburgh, and that will open the door also to go back to London, because London is the capital of the world, and it desperately needs a great shake-up of the Holy Spirit. So we're praying that beginning in here in Inverness, we'll see it all the way to London. I'm convinced the Lord's going to do it. So get ready.
Oh, well, that's interesting. You may have heard of the prophecy by Jean Dernal.
I do. I remember that. I was reminded of it. I was having a dinner with a group of couples at Susie Sainsbury's house in London. You know, they're from the Sainsbury chain. And she loves the Lord. And she reminded me of that picture of flames of fire all over the British Isles. And we were aware of it way back 20, 30 years ago, and I still think it's unfinished business. That's one reason I want to continue, because I think sometimes in in the UK in general, the four United Kingdom countries, there's a tendency to allow criticism to overwhelm. And I think we got to ignore it in the name of the Lord, do what we must do. We believe God wants to shake up the British Isles, bless the nations, bless the young people. Let's not just allow the devil to take it.
Well, as a Highlander, it's thrilling to hear
that, Louise. Yes.
And we would emphasize, wouldn't we, that it's not just Inverness, it's the area.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We want to go to all the Highland towns. I'm all sold on Wick and Lerwick. I want to go to Tain. I want to go to Stirling, anywhere where there's an open door and see fire on the heather again, you know, see the Holy Spirit move in unusual ways and see God's servants, the ministers, cheered up and expecting church to grow. You know, I think we have a right to that because it's a new generation. And many of these young people in this generation have not heard the basic gospel, not because it isn't preached, but because they aren't listening. So this festival is an effort to build a bridge from the church to the secular young people, the kids who are in the pubs and in gambling and some doing drugs and dropping out and just forgetting about God. So that's what the festival is about.
Yes, now that word festival, you have changed your style of presentation, not the message, but the style, haven't you?
Well, yes. And you know, what we were realizing, my sons were much younger than me, of course, and some team members said, you know, the crusade model was fabulous. Choir, clergy, platform, an hour and a half, a glorified church service in a stadium. We did that for ages, and the Lord honored it. But lately we were beginning to notice, about 10 years ago, that it was basically the Christians coming out. And that's good, but not good enough. And it just wasn't impacting the non-believers. So when we changed, and we have the term crusade doesn't match our society today, you know, it's too much of a fighting words. But festival speaks to the young people. And so we do children, we take a park instead of a stadium, a beach, but not in Scotland. The beaches are too cold, but in other parts of the world. And we'll go to a park here in Inverness, God willing. And then we have an end of the park where the little children go. And they do face painting and rock climbing, and then a children's evangelist gives them the gospel. At the other end of the park, we will build a skate ramp where skateboarders come and do an exhibition and maybe a motocross, a motorbike. And these are converted experts. And they do all these tricks. They get the attention of the young people and they give a testimony for Christ. And a youth evangelist gives them the gospel. Then we go to the main stage. In between you have meals. You can buy food. You can buy fish and chips. You can buy hamburgers, whatever they like to eat up here. And they can eat and it'd be a family like the Lord when he had those, you know, all these thousands, and he gave them fish and chips, or at least fish and bread, you know, and they sat there and they chat, and we this way, and then we go to the main platform, and we have contemporary musicians who preach, sing good Christian music that appeals to the young people and the young couples. By the way, we're finding that 50 and under like contemporary music nowadays. And then I preach a solid message, as always. The gospel doesn't change. It's sacred. It's only the methods that change. And I keep telling the secular press, the methods are nothing but a method of delivering the message. The message is the same that St. Paul preached, and John Calvin, and Martin Luther, and John Wesley. It's never, if you change the message, you're a heretic. So the message hasn't changed, but the methods of delivering it have to change and have throughout history. So I want every grandma and grandpa to pray for their grandchildren, every dad and mom for their children, that they would bring them. It's appealing, it's cheerful, it's joyful, it is normal, and then the gospel goes out. And then we have a little more music, and then goodbye. So it's more 2 days rather than a week. And we'll probably have a mature program, if you want to put it that way, a traditional program in a covered coliseum of some sort here in the area. I forget the name of one of them, by the cathedral, and do a program that appeals to the the people who prefer a little tradition. And we'll have that for 2 days, maybe three, and then we have 2 days for the young people. And the elderly can come, of course, mothers and dads and grandparents, but the goal is the young people. And we've got to do something, otherwise they're all going to hell without ever hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's why we want to do that. And it looks like many of the pastors wanted to.
Well, there certainly seems to have been a response today.
They did, didn't they? Yes.
Yes, and as your son Andrew also bore out, you would be seeking to make it culturally sensitive to this area.
Oh, absolutely.
Inverness and the Highlands are a bit different from San Francisco.
You said it, yes, in some ways. Somebody joked about, you know, the men coming in kilt, and maybe I'll do it. I don't have the courage. But no, we will adapt to your culture. We're not here to come with foolish moves that don't appeal. But whatever the clergy and other business people feel, this fits our culture. Let's do it. You know, that's the dream.
Well, we're looking forward to that, Louise.
Yes.
Next year will be the year of homecoming to Scotland. And you were telling us today about your gratitude to Scottish missionaries.
Oh, yes.
So 2009 also will be the 30th anniversary.
Amen.
Exactly.
30th anniversary. And I only found out today, talking to a BBC man, that it was homecoming year. And my grandpa was a Balfour. So I got 25% Scottish blood. Therefore, I'm coming home. But having a festival in June, perhaps. What do you think?
Well, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, June sounds good.
And if it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. And get people praying through your internet website, and tell them to pray and prepare for a great visitation from God.
We'll do that, Louise. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
This is now a conversation with the Pastor Randy Bartis, who, as mentioned earlier, has been coming to Inverness and having a series of meetings over a period.
Well, Randy, good to be in touch again. It's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken.
Yes, it has. You've been on some holiday.
I've been on holiday, I have to admit to that. Yes, I was suffering for the Lord in Cyprus.
Well, somebody has to do it.
Randy, we've just finished an exciting day here as Louise gave his presentation and his son Andrew and some local testimonies as well. Maybe you could say just what you feel. Where are we in the process? What's the Spirit saying to you?
Well, you know, the Spirit's been saying to us in our hearts for some time that we felt we should be going to Scotland. That was what we felt the Spirit was saying to us. But, you know, when you have that sense in your heart, it has to be confirmed. And, of course, it's confirmed by the Word, just go everywhere and preach the gospel. So it's confirmed in general. But for specific, if we're going to reach a community, we have to do it with the local church. We got to work through the local church even to reach the community. And of course, we're doing it for the local church and the expansion of their ministry and their influence. So we need to hear from the local church. And we have. I mean, over the past months, there have been churches coming on board. When we sent out the word about this conference, we didn't give folks a chance to respond to, you know, the outreach. We just said, come to the conference. And yet, even without being asked, as they send in their email registrations, many said, by the way, I'm 100% on board, that type of thing. So we were beginning to have a growing sense. And then earlier this week, we met with probably 20 of the key business leaders in this community. Lord Mackay brought a group together, and we chatted, and even others that had already said would be on board that could not make it. So at the end of that meeting, it was a unanimous sense from that group of leaders that we should go ahead and that they'd be willing to support us. So yet another confirmation, you know, to what we felt God was telling us. And then today, as we gathered together, our first indication was the fact that as we talked to local people, how big a crowd should we expect? Well, 30 to 40, considering the number of churches, you know, and folks, you know, don't worry about the folks in the far north because it's just too far to come down in the morning. And we ended up with 84 people signed up for the event, and they came from all over. They came from as far away as Bucky. They came from the far north. Every single denomination, I believe, in town was represented. And so we're just about to find out, but it looked initially like more than 30 congregations had said that they would like to participate. So we'll be going over that. Some folks need to go back now and talk with elder boards and so forth before they make any decisions. And so we're going to give them time to do that, and so that they can be included in a letter of invitation that would be extended from folks here locally to our organization. And then we will put it through the mill of prayer one more time on our end We feel that's important. The very first thing that was organized here was prayer. Many months ago when we said, please just start locating prayer groups and asking them to pray. And we believe that what we're seeing is a result of those prayers. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to ever be presumptuous on the Lord. As I said, we're going to let the churches have a chance to have their voice and go through their process. We're going to put it through prayer one more time in our own hearts, probably more than once, and then come to a decision. But if I've, in my experience of many cities of doing this, I haven't seen a much warmer response in any city. It's every denomination, which is a good sign. It's some of the very largest churches in town. It's some of the very smallest churches in town. And pastors who initially said to me, you know, I love what you do, but I just don't think this is the place to do it, have come to me and said, you know, I think the Lord would have us work together. So we're feeling very good about what the Lord might be doing.
Okay, well, that's great, Randy. Now, without wanting to presume on how the Lord may speak in the days to come,
right?
What would be your anticipation regarding time scales? And
well, we need to give a little number of weeks here for folks to, you know, as I said, come to their own conclusions, those that have not done that yet. And then we would start, if that is a, you know, again, as you say, not presuming, as we choose to move ahead in response to the Lord's leading, we would then begin to lay some initial organization down in late November. And then start forming all the various working teams or committees right after the first of the year. And for a little bit while there, sometimes it goes a little bit underground, you know, not intentionally, but you've got folks off here getting ready to minister to youth and folks over here organizing, you know, children's workers. And then in January, possibly February, there will be more public meetings for the church that will include you know, lay people as well as ministers, pastors. And then that will be the work. Come February, early March, we'll start in really into the logistical planning, securing all the appropriate venues and looking around for the, you know, to see what physical resources that you need to do this are in Inverness and what needs to be brought in. And then move forward into that next phase, which will be really, because we're not just about evangelizing, we're about evangelism. And so we want to train people in forms of evangelism, training meant for people who are not evangelists. They're just regular people, and taking the burden off of them of being an evangelist, but placing the calling on them to share their story in a very natural way so that they can begin to, long after we're gone, still be comfortable sharing the story of their faith with the unconverted. And then we'll move into such thing as training counselors, planning, you know, rallies in the final weeks just to get the church motivated. We'll start instantly then expanding the prayer networks that have been put together and trying to get, you know, information to every prayer warrior in the Highland region and maintain contact with them so that we can begin to let them know and ask for their prayers, not for us, though we want them to pray for us, but their prayers for the community. We don't even focus most of the prayer on the outreach per se. We focus the prayers on the hearts of those that need to come to Christ.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds as if we're not going to be left sitting on the sidelines in all of this.
No. You know, the nice thing about this is a bit contemporary for some folk, certain portions of it, but there will be an outreach aimed at nearly every strata of life in the Highlands.
Right, so you're covering the ground geographically to the extent you're able, culturally, age groups.
Yes.
Okay, and through related events,
yes,
aside from the main event.
All the way from contemporary music in the park to classical music at Eden Court, you know. We're going to explore every possibility to reach everyone we can by any method we can.
Right. Now, just I'll take music as an example. I mean, there are people in the Highlands who are musically gifted. There are
right.
people perhaps gifted in evangelism and other forms of service.
Mm-hmm.
How would you see them integrating with the program as it develops?
Well, especially in some of the events that precede that and that final week, we look for opportunities to use local talent. When it comes to local evangelists, we really try to motivate them into the fact that largely they may end up at that moment, their evangelism might be getting someone there and sticking with them long enough to not only see them come to Christ, but begin to, you know, disciple them afterward. And it's our hope that what we leave here is not only a deposit of new people in the kingdom, but a deposit of people within the churches who have been motivated, trained, and made to understand that they can be successful in sharing Christ with other people.
We have an expression here, gossiping the gospel.
There you go. Every day.
Okay, well, that's great, Randy. Yeah. We look forward to keeping in touch with all these developments.
Absolutely.
I'll certainly try and get the information out for prayer, which is, I think, one of your great desires.
Yes.
And we'll see how the Lord leads, and looking forward to working together.
Amen. Thank you so much, Colin.
Okay, thanks, Randy.
Yeah.
The Louise Palau Association conducts festivals and outreach continuously in all parts of the world. And this is now a very short conversation with Andrew Palau, Louise's son, who's now working with the Louise Palau Association as an evangelist. And Andrew talks about some of the festivals that are being run before next June, when the team would come to Inverness, but also a festival in Rwanda following the Inverness event, and really valuing prayer for the team as these festivals go on.
So we would be very appreciative of prayers for Oaxaca, Mexico in November that Luis will be preaching. They've trained tens of thousands actually of counselors. And then that's in the capital city of the state of Oaxaca. And then I'll be in a small town the Wednesday before in Huatulco, which is a city kind of built for tourism, really, but all the locals that live in service to that, that's who we'll be ministering to. That's in November. And then in March, we'll be in Guatemala, in the capital city. So that's also, I think they've trained 30,000 counselors. A great move of the Lord there, and so we're praying for Guatemala in March, and then in Kigali, Rwanda, the capital city, will be after our time here in June, God willing, in Scotland. But all the preparation time for Kigali, we'd appreciate your prayers now, and I'll get them praying for you, and we'll rejoice together when we see the reports. And I think that's it. And then you can also look on the website, www.palau.org, to see the calendar of activities. So that would be a real blessing to us.
That's great, Andrew.
And we'll have them all praying for you as well.
Well, we'd much appreciate
that. It's a real privilege.
Great. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, that was a series of interviews conducted in Inverness on Thursday, the 2nd of October, 2008. Speaking on the day to Luis Palau, the Argentinian evangelist, Randy Bartis, his festival director, and also Luis Palau's son, Andrew. Meeting in Inverness with a group of church leaders from across the Highland area, and with the prospect of a mission in the area next year in the summer of 2009. So brought to you by Christians Together at www.christianstogether.net.